Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Last night, you obviously brought up the comment about hating to lose more than you liking to win. Obviously, everybody loses in high school, college, or along the way. How does losing affect you? How do you deal with it? Are you a sore loser? Are you tough to be around? What's that like?
I think just learn from it. You know, I think just learn from mistakes, and you know, I think nobody likes losing. So just find a way to, you know, kind of learn from it and kind of look myself in the mirror and see what I need to do better and how can I help this football team.
Drake May yesterday on WEEI Afternoons with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. They come your way at 2 o'clock here today on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe, high noon on a Tuesday. We already did our tiers, Thanksgiving food, which Keefe tweeted out at Keefe21. You can check that out on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take it with you wherever you go this holiday season. We also have Kiefer Madness on the way about 45 minutes from now. Plus, it's a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston joins us right now on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by D'Angelo Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop, and the Sandwich Shop of Jones and Keefe every Tuesday. A bunch of Thanksgiving subs already dropped off.
Oh, polish that off.
Yours is all gone. I'm about halfway through mine over here working on it. Uh-huh. Flex Car. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at flexcar.com. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, if you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180. A once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss at Awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, what's up?
Good afternoon, boys. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving week.
Oh, yes, happy you as Thanksgiving well. To you as well. What's your must-have at Thanksgiving, Tom? What is it?
You know, I really like a pumpkin pie with a dollop of whipped cream.
Sure. Not Cool Whip. Whipped cream.
And I'm a big stuffing guy.
Yes.
Not as big on the turkey, but stuffing and the gravy. Drizzled gravy. No celery in my stuffing, please. No celery, please. Thank you.
That seems like a fair request. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Tom, what do you think of the Patriots' performance against the Dolphins that second quarter? Perhaps the worst quarter of the entire season?
Yeah, I wrote a column and said that it was soup to nuts incompetence that really undid the 4 weeks of semi-encouraging progress that had been made. And that's what's unfortunate about it, I think, is, you know, the Jacksonville game was a nadir, and this really returned right to where the Jacksonville game was, perhaps with a little less physical ineptitude. That Jacksonville game, they just got to run down their faces. This game just featured too many mental mistakes, focus mistakes, pre-snap penalties, communication mistakes, stuff that you really hoped if they were desiring to make the progress where they wanted to be a team that was smart, tough, and disciplined, they would be able to excise from their game, especially, you know, back in the division for the first time in a little while against a team that should be a peer if you are trying to get better. So it was very, very discouraging, I think.
Tommy Curran's latest is up now at NBC Sports Boston. Patriots ineptitude at every level signals need for greater urgency. He was citing some of that there. You also cited in the column, Tom, between May, another top five pick, and a huge amount of cap space, there's absolutely a way for the franchise to get back to dry land. How soon do you expect them to be competitive again? Define that how you want. How soon do you think that'll be?
How soon do I think it'll be? I can't predict. I'd have to see what they do
Let me rephrase. How soon would be acceptable?
Next year. They should be competitive next year. They should go from being whatever they're going to be. And it's a tough five-game finish that they have here, except for the Colts. They're probably going to finish with 3 or 4 wins. You have to be 7, 8, 9 wins next year. You have to be signaling competency and be the tough out that Gerard Mayo said that he wanted his team to be. You have to be potent on defense, far, far, far greater than you are now. And I guess that's what troubles me about where they are, is I felt the cornerback and edge were need positions going into this draft. You know, Marcus Jones and Jonathan Jones are fine, but they are physical mismatches at times against bigger receivers. So I think they needed another boundary corner. They definitely needed another edge rusher even prior to Matthew Judon leaving. So you add those two positions to offensive tackle and wide receiver, and you have the four positions that, aside from quarterback, are the most coveted and highly paid in the league. And they need to staff all four of those positions. So that's why I say they need extreme urgency to address these things, because it's not year one of a rebuild. It's year five of a rebuild. So they need to be more proactive than they have been, instead of just this year has basically, and you guys would agree with this, and we've talked about it, we're just going to roll it out there and see how it looks, and then we'll make some decisions afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay, they better be hard decisions swiftly made.
What do you think of the, or what is the status of DeMarcus Covington? I feel like throughout the year, you know, we talk about Mayo every day. We talk about Wolf a good amount. Van Pelt, clearly, with, you know, him working closely with Drake May. The defense hasn't been very good. You know, Tua is another one of these quarterbacks in a long line this season that had another, you know, great career high type of day. Covington's name doesn't get brought up a ton. What do you think his sort of status is here now and going forward?
First of all, I think the reason he wasn't brought up so frequently was, you know, the absence of Peppers, Barmore, and Bentley for so long was cited as a reason that, of course, he's going to be backsliding in the removal of Judon. So there was, to me at least, I would say, well, what do you want? It's going to look that way. But when you see the communication issues and when you see how overmatched they are and the lack of innovation during games, for instance, I still think one of the worst ideas I've seen coaching-wise this year was an all-out blitz on Matthew Stafford when you're down 14-10 on the first possession of the second half. He's a 16-year veteran, and you've already seen this movie with Geno Smith and DK Metcalf in week two. What did you think was going to happen? What was the reward for the risk that you were going to put out there? Because the risk was a touchdown, which they got. So I think as the season has gone along, there's more focus has switched to Covington because of the nature of the mistakes. They're not physical mistakes. They play hard. They're just confused. And if they're confused, you have to ask, well, are they prepared adequately? And why are they not able to switch as adeptly? And I think the Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo now spending less time, obviously, with the defense because he's more of the CEO, and obviously not having Bill there to oversee or at least tinker, and Bill spent more time on offense the last couple of years because Steve and Gerard would have it locked down. So I think Covington was not in a great spot, but it is what it is. You're not in a great spot. You can't just say, well, what can you do? You have to do something.
Time now for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game. It's presented by FlexCar. You can ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. What's your Flex of the Game this week, Tom?
Well, it's a tough one. I'm going to flex to you're going against the quarterback who you should be able to have your way with to an extent, with Anthony Richardson. You should be able to do with him, perhaps, to a degree, what you did with Caleb Williams. What defense will Covington call upon, and what kind of improvement will you see? We'll see whether or not Jabril Peppers is on the field. I honestly, and we've talked about this as well, I thought he was the best player on the team the last 2 years. The most productive, brought the most attitude and leadership on the defense. If he is on the field this week, and we do not know, and we'll start to see on the injury reports his participation level, but if he's on the field, does he help to make a difference for them?
You know, Tom, with five games left to play, should they be overall more aggressive offensively? I know the first drive, this isn't the most egregious example of it, but fourth and one, you'd already been, you know, a penalty on the drive. It's fourth and one at around your own 40-yard line. Do you maybe consider going for that there? Knowing that your defense isn't great, knowing that you're going up against a team that's probably going to score some points. We've talked about it, you know, at the end of the Tennessee game and other times, but it just feels like the wins might not be there. You're not a playoff team. Does it do more for the team to be aggressive and allow your rookie quarterback to try to get a yard or 2 yards in certain circumstances throughout the game?
In a vacuum, that decision is not offensive. I agree with you. But I spent last week saying that, and using Dan Campbell as an example, their default move, the Detroit Lions, was to be aggressive at every turn. We have anything confronting us, that said the 2022 Lions, and we are in attack mode. And the Patriots want to be a game plan team. They want to be versatile. Well, if you want to be a game plan team and switch from this type of scheme to that type of scheme to this set of decision making, you have to be good enough to toggle back and forth between them. You know, we all remember Bill Parcells and to a degree Bill Belichick. They would be stubborn about mindset. And I think that the Patriots need to become have a default setting, and I don't know what their default setting is. Is it aggressive? Is it conservative? I just don't think you can you lick your finger and check the wind before every decision. You have to have a default, and I think that you're exactly right. When you're not a good team, you should go for it if you have a coin flip situation against Tennessee to win the game because, yeah, maybe the offense is tired, but the defense was chasing for 12 seconds. Mm-hmm. Run a play. Try and get the win. You need a win. So I fully agree with you on the idea that they should have a default aggressive approach offensively right now.
Well, and we saw Harbaugh do it a couple of times last night on Monday Night Football, including fourth and one from his own 16. So other coaches are doing it.
Yeah.
Will Mayo do that? I want to circle back to Jabril Peppers. Do you think, if you had to guess, do you think he plays this weekend?
I couldn't even make a guess. Honestly, we'll have to wait and see because I don't know. He hasn't been in the building.
Do you think he should? Do you think he should play? Maybe I should ask it that way. Do you think he should play?
If he's ready to, if he's physically ready to play, sure. I mean, it's I'm not into the level of moral decision making. That's up to them. If they say and they're comfortable with him playing, then and he's been removed from the NFL's exempt list, then sure. Do you?
I mean, I would want to have some real strong evidence to make sure he's exonerated because they're still moving forward with the trial and the accusations were pretty heinous. So I don't know what they have for information and I don't know any details about what's going on with his trial. But yeah, I would be cautious.
Yeah, I would be too. So one would presume with a $6 billion team in the most visible sport certainly in America, certainly on the planet to a degree right there with soccer, that you would want to tread carefully when making any decisions about putting a player on the field who may have something looming over them. So you want to have every assurance that you're not going to be completely embarrassed if something comes out by now, but it's been 8 weeks. So one would presume that they somehow feel comfortable with it and they've reconciled themselves to it. So not knowing the inner workings on it, I would defer to their decision-making while reserving the opportunity to go, well, what would you put him on the field for if you didn't know that?
You know, one of the stories that came out of the game on Sunday, Mark Daniels and others were reporting that, you know, they just got worked by the Dolphins. And then in the locker room afterwards, guys were laughing, guys were smiling. Is that a big deal at all, or is that sort of like more of an old school mentality? Where like, oh, you gotta really wear your losses hard. Like, where do you come down on that?
I wasn't there. I don't know if you know, absent silly string and water balloons, if guys are laughing a little bit after the game, if there's a radio on, and guys are really laughing and towel snapping, I think that would be something that would be jarring. But the guys who were in there have been in a lot of locker rooms. They found it noteworthy enough to mention.
Right.
But again, are they playing hard? Are they giving an effort on the field? Are they quitting on the field and then playing grab ass in the locker room afterwards? I didn't see indications that they stopped playing on the field. So I don't know the context of the laughing and the joking because I wasn't there. I don't think it's a, you know, a hanging sin.
How do you feel about the turnovers with Drake May? He was asked on WEEI afternoons yesterday if they're becoming a problem. He said he didn't feel that they were. He needs to clean them up, but he didn't feel they were a problem. Do you think they're becoming a problem for Drake May?
You know, I said this after the game the other day. That's the kind of game that we were talking about when saying, well, you don't want him out there for that because it could lead to regression. And I still think he played pretty well overall. But when you have jailbreaks defensively going after your young quarterback and his decision-making may at times be compromised, not just the physical aspect, but the decision-making, that's where you can start to undo some of the good that you did. So it's one game. As Brian Hoyer said in the postgame with us, you know, if you get to 3 or 4 weeks of it, that's an issue. And I would think that if you're losing your fundamentals and your decision-making, the turnovers would follow. So, yeah, they're worth monitoring in the context of how does each one come. And the turnovers this past weekend were more jaw-dropping and irritating, I think, given, you know, and he acknowledged that too, trying to do a swim move around an on-rushing defensive lineman when probably just take the sack is a good example of a panic play.
Okay, he's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can check out his latest at NBC Sports Boston, Patriots Ineptitude at Every Level signals the need for greater urgency. He's got quick slants tonight. He'll be on WEEI Afternoons later in the week. Curran, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, Tommy Curran.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Joining us here. Oh, I should have said, you know what? Yeah. Shame on me for not saying that. We did the Thanksgiving
talk
started right
with
the front.
It.
Yeah. We did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We did. So shame on
me. What are you thankful for?
Happy Thanksgiving, yeah. Tom, if I didn't say it, which I didn't.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving to him. No, I do get what he's saying about Jabril Peppers. He doesn't want to play the moral high ground necessarily, and why would they put him out there if they weren't comfortable with the information? Fair question.
Yeah.
How much do you trust the Patriots' judgment these days? The Kraft's judgment these days. Yeah.
It's low.
Like, why would they put Jerod Mayo out there if they thought he wasn't ready?
True.
You know? Why would they put Elliott Wolf out there if they didn't think he was a good GM? Why wouldn't they hire Alex Van Pelt if he didn't know what he was doing? Like, all these, like, I could throw that question back in people's faces quite a bit. So I guess the question is, at the end of the day, do I trust the Kraft's judgment on stuff like this? And my answer would be, I don't.
No, but this would blow up in their face. And I guess so would those other moves, mm-hmm. I suppose. But this is the one, like, they would have to own this more than anybody else. Like, as a fan, you're like, all right, well, he's out there. Like, I'm rooting for the guys that are on the team. And, like, you know, I don't get to pick the players, but those are the guys that are out there. Whereas with Robert Kraft, you know, you've had several weeks now to figure out, what are we going to do? Like, you knew he wasn't going to be on the list forever. So when he comes off the list, what do we do? And they've met with him, and maybe they met with the lawyer too, for all we know. And maybe they've seen evidence that proves it. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I hope it's something like that. If they're comfortable putting him out on the field, I hope they've seen exonerating evidence, quite frankly. On the Drake May turnovers.
Yeah.
How concerning are those?
Like
he said they're not a problem, is what he said yesterday.
That's what Drake said.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not what Curran said. Curran agrees with him, but that's what he said yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. I'm not sure I love that answer. Like, for him to just be like, yeah, I don't think they're a problem, I'm not sure I love that. Like, I got to clean it up, and it's something I'll work on. To definitively say I don't think they're a problem felt a bit strong for a guy who turns it over once or twice every week.
Is there a number in your head where you're like, that's a good season for a quarterback? Because we always look at, like, touchdowns. But as far as, like, picks and fumbles, are you allowed, like, one a game? Or what? Like, how many would it be?
Is it one a game? 17 picks in a year sounds high.
No, 17 picks.
Oh,
I'm saying
sorry.
Total turnovers. Oh. So if it's...
Well, yeah, because he fumbles. So he's up to five fumbles.
So 10 picks. But I feel like that's a big number. Like, if it's 10 picks, 7 fumbles.
That's a ton.
That's 17. That's one a game. That's too many.
Yeah.
And so right now he's trending for way more than that. I do kind of give him the benefit of the doubt just being a rookie. And, you know, there are always going to be years where... there's some tough luck interceptions, right? Happens every year to every quarterback. We don't go through every single guy, but there are ones, hits a guy in the hands. Like, a wide receiver gets hit in the hands, ball goes up, it's a pick. But then there's also ones where you throw it directly to the defender, maybe he drops it. So they kind of even out over the whole thing. But looking at it right now, the leader in interceptions in the NFL is Geno Smith with 12.
Mahomes is close, right?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love... are tied for second with 11. And, like, it's Patrick Mahomes, but he has 11 interceptions. And so that's a lot of picks. So that's an 11 game. So he's on pace for a 17 interception season.
It's too much.
Which is high as hell.
I mean, we're all saying Mahomes is turning it over
too much. Brady and Rodgers were, like, sort of outlier. Like, Brady and Rodgers, like, would have years where they wouldn't throw any picks.
Brissett never turns it over.
Didn't have the touchdown interception, though, that you would love.
No. So,
TDs.
Yeah, I'd say they're at least worth monitoring right now. The fumbles.
Josh Allen had a turnover problem bad, and he's cleaned that up. So if that's the guy you're comping to,
that's true.
Is it an issue?
I mean, look,
he had 18 last year.
The fumbles to me are far more. The fumbles feel like more of a problem than the picks to me.
I think with Allen, it was a big, like, getting used to not having Brian Daboll kind of thing. I think that was a part of it. Some guys obviously just force too much. And I do think that Drake May's going to probably be closer to a Josh Allen, especially if you don't have a true go-to receiver. What a wild stat. Did you see the stat? One of the many stats they put up during the game is he's the first guy, or there's two guys in league history that his first 10 touchdown passes were to 10 different receivers.
I did not see that.
It's outrageous.
The other guy was like the 73, 74.
Some guy like I've never heard of.
Huh.
Like, legit never heard of. And I'm like, what a wild stat. But it also goes to show you, like, he doesn't have anybody good to throw to.
He doesn't have a guy.
No. So, like, I feel like guys, how about, ready for this? Guys who don't have a guy probably throw more picks.
Yeah, it's probably fair.
Because, like, where do you go? Like, when Brady needed it, he would go to Gronk or Edelman. And then now, like, when Drake May needs something, I'm like, who's he throwing to? Austin Hooper?
Yeah.
That's who it was last week.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, my answer would probably be Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
And that's not, all respect to Hunter Henry, he comes on every Monday, but, like, that's not
but
a great answer.
But if your first and second season in the NFL, you have, like, X number of interceptions, that's, okay, that's sort of, like, should be the high. And then from there, you should learn as a pro, and that number should go down. Like, it's going to dip up and down, like, as your career goes. But hypothetically, you throw 12, 14 picks your first year. I would hope that it's less
than 10,
that.
12 the next year.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what I
would
think.
Agree with that. And so you
know, Justin Herbert had 10 his rookie year, 15 his second year.
Okay.
But he also had 69 touchdown passes. Did he? That's what helps.
Yeah, that does. And so, then also there's like pass attempts. Like how many times is your team making you throw it?
All I would say is you should at least be monitoring them. To me, the fumbles feel like they are a problem, less so the picks. And I just don't want them to develop bad habits in the last month of the year. It's not that you can't break them, but I didn't love what I saw in that last game. And I hope we get more of the games prior to that than what we got Sunday against Miami. Not just the result, but how he played.
Porzingis tees up another. This one's going. Welcome back, KP. Good defense from Brown. Pritchard the save. White gave it back to him. Look at the handle from Pritchard. Upstairs, Porzingis. Now the Celtics ran away with this one. Welcome back, Kristaps Porzingis. 32-point victory.
Is this a clue about Kiefer Madness coming up in 15 minutes?
It should be. You know what? Put that out into the world. We haven't had a lot of alien stories.
We really have
this go around on Madness. But as soon as you mentioned creatures before, they've almost all been creatures. This one does involve creatures. It does not involve aliens, unfortunately.
Okay. Not an alien creature.
Nope. Unfortunately not.
Which Christian Gonzalez, we learned, he does believe in aliens or at least life out there, but not
little green people.
The little green creatures that you might
see. I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, I'm not saying that's what it is either.
You think he was too dismissive?
It could look like a xenomorph, or it could look like
a what now?
A xenomorph.
A xenomorph.
Yeah.
Mm.
You seen Alien? The Alien? Like the original Alien movie? Yeah. Like that.
Oh, that's what a xenomorph is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's a scary son of a gun. The chest burster, the little guy. Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, scary. Good jump scare.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be anything. They could look like us.
Well, but it's not aliens coming up in Kiefer Madness.
No, sadly, it's not aliens.
Okay, good to know. That comes your way 15 minutes from now. Here on Jones and Keefe, it's a busy, busy Tuesday. We talked to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston on a Tommy Tuesday. It's up now on the Odyssey app. Check that out. Get it on your phone for the holiday season. We also did our tiers earlier today. We've tweeted those out at Keefe21. Also, Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Celtics get Porzingis back last night. Keefe, what'd you think?
I thought overall pretty great. You know, a little bit of a slow start. Got to get his legs back underneath him, obviously. And this was a game in which they absolutely dominated. They had a 51-point quarter. In the second quarter, the Celtics scored 51 points. So it was a massive blowout. But it's good to get Porzingis back out there. I'm glad he started. Made sense. It was going to be a night with no Al Horford. You might as well throw him in there. He ends up going 23 minutes. Definitely, like, some signs of rust. But hit a couple of shots, just had that, you know, big man presence on defense, his size, I think, altering things. Couple of block shots in there. And for that being his first game in so many months, I looked at that as a big success.
I thought his first stint looked rocky, which makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he hasn't played since late last year. He hasn't played at all this year. I thought their rhythm was out of whack early. They were trying to get him too many shots. He was launching from too deep.
Yeah.
Like, not that he doesn't have that range. I know he
can
shoot from out there.
But it's like, all right, guys.
But it was like three or four shots from 25 feet away.
Yeah.
When you're working him back into the game. I also didn't think he was super competitive defensively early on. Like, Zubats missed a shot where Porzingis was on him. But I didn't think he was super competitive defensively in that first stint. So it was 6.5 minutes, something like that. It was 10-10.
Yeah.
When he checked out.
Like, all right.
And the Celtics looked out of rhythm.
Yeah.
And they looked even more in rhythm the second he left the floor. They took off, and they started running away from the Clippers. It does.
You know, they've played however many games together.
So I was not loving what I saw out of Porzingis. I didn't think it was the end of the world. It's his first game back. Obviously, he's got to play his way into it. And then he got in for his second stint. I thought that went much better.
Yeah.
His stint in the third quarter where they were giving him post-ups as opposed to just launching from 25 feet away, I thought was really good. And so, no, I was pretty happy with the returns overall, even acknowledging that his first stint was rocky. But again, put that in perspective. It makes sense. When he is on this team, you can tell that their ceiling is ridiculously high. They're already a championship team without him.
Yeah.
They won the title last year without him. And when you add him to the mix, the way he spaces the floor, the way he moves the basketball, the way he impacts shots at the defensive end, which we agree, Keith, was his biggest impact, and I think where he helps the team the most, he just makes their ceiling absurdly high, and they might need a higher ceiling this year than last because I don't think you're going to have as easy of a playoff path.
No, I mean, as far as like the injuries that the opponent had throughout that stretch, I don't think you're going to duplicate that again. Injuries happen all the time. You can look back at a lot of different titles that were won or lost based on, oh, now Kevin Durant's hurt, or now like this guy's out, and this guy's whatever. Like, there's been different ones. But getting a Luka Kyrie team in the finals is probably not going to happen back
in
years.
Getting three injured teams.
Three injured teams.
Not,
and then
a
Luka.
Team on the way to a championship. Three injured teams.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
And then a five seed in the finals. That's just an outlier. No one's taking away the banner.
No, and
but
to
let's
their
just
credit,
call it what it was. That was an easy path.
And I feel like it'd be more of a talking point had those series all been like grinders. Like if they were 6-7 game series, you're like, well, wait a minute. There's no Halliburton. There's no Mitchell. But they lost three total playoff games last season. So, and again, they didn't have Porzingis for that whole run either. And you and I have been pretty consistent. We don't think you can count on Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, you can't.
But if he is in there, this goes back to when you look at the starting lineup from yesterday. That is why when Stan Van Gundy said it's one of the best teams ever assembled, at first you're like, wait, what? But then when you really dig into it, there are definitely teams in the past that had better individual players or maybe even better duos. Like even Curry, Durant, and Klay Thompson. What a great trio.
Yep.
Well, who are the other two starters? Or like Jordan and Pippen. All right, who are the other three starters? Like Shaq and Kobe. All right, but Derek Fisher started. Like this team has all-stars, right? Like Derek White, maybe individually for his career, is the worst out of the five. And he's an all-defensive guy, a Team USA guy. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Like
and maybe an all-star. I mean, he might make an all-star team before
his career
is over.
He might even squeeze out an all-star. Yeah. So you're like, man, just one through five, they are so deep. They were all ranked in the top 50 for this season, right? When they did, ESPN did their list, and whatever. You can agree with the list or disagree, but just to show you, like, every team's hoping to have, you know, one or two guys in the top 50. They have five guys in the top 50, and that is something that when you do have Porzingis, it just sort of, you're already the best team in the league, and then it just sort of it kicks you up another notch.
So we don't think they need him to win a championship, but you know, it makes it a lot easier, obviously, to your best players out there and have him, and you can see what the ceiling is. I don't think for a second you can count on having him, which is part of why I say I don't think they need him. Like, if you think they need him, then when he gets hurt this year, you're going to be like,
it's over.
Are out. I mean, that's kind of what you have to do. If you think they need him, that's kind of what you have to do. I don't feel that way. I think they can win a championship without him. Again, I know they already did without him last year. I think they can do it again. We agree, Keith, the defense is where
he's
the
biggest impact.
Well, it's because it's where they need the most help.
Yeah.
And if you heard Brad Stevens last night during the second quarter on NBC Sports Boston, if you could listen to Brad with all the hooting and hollering from Scal and Drew Carter.
Yeah, they're excited.
Then you heard Stevens harping on the defense. You heard him over and over and over again when an easy layup would happen. He'd be like, oh, there's another easy layup. There's another layup. Another layup?
Yep.
And on top of that, he said
points in the paint.
The thing that bothers him the most is points in the paint, more so at the defensive end than the offensive end. He's like, we want good shots at the offensive end. That's what we emphasize. But on defense, I think that was his way of saying we give up way too many easy buckets. They got crushed in the paint last night. 58 more points from the Clippers in the paint. But you could tell Porzingis was altering a lot of shots, and guys were thinking when he was in there, which they weren't doing when he wasn't.
How much of that do you think? I know Mazzulla is always going to say, hey, we want to be really good defense. But Mazzulla is also of the mindset that every three is a good three to take on offense. So when he's giving up points in the paint, I feel like he thinks that's a win.
Yeah.
He
does.
He's like, well, as long as we don't foul them, they're only getting two.
Yeah.
So if they get two, that's a trade-off that we will take. So I think he's...
And in fairness, that kind of flies in the face of my theory that Mazzulla just carries out what Stevens wants, because Stevens was very clear on the broadcast last night.
Yeah.
He leaned a little bit into they take too many threes. And
I think Mazzulla's
more analytic. He went all the way in on we allow too many easy buckets in the paint. And so, maybe there is more contrast between Mazzulla and Stevens than I've given it credit. And you heard that in real time last night.
Well, I think Mazzulla, who was on Stevens' staff, right? He was one of the few guys that hung around in the Udoka Stevens kind of transition. But I don't think it's a surprise either that Stevens last year, the Celtics shot a ton of threes, and then Udoka's first year they shot more, and then Mazzulla's first year they shot more. So I think Mazzulla wants these guys taking threes. So conversely, he doesn't want the other team making a lot of threes. I think he thinks that's how they would lose. And so, no, you don't want to give up layups and dunks.
Yeah,
that's sort of different.
You don't want to give up easy twos is the difference.
But if you're chasing them off the three-point line and then they're taking twos, even if they make it, in Mazzulla's head, he's like, that's a win. Like,
yeah.
We'll go down.
That's only
like,
two. We'll hit three
we'll,
at the other.
We'll
I'm
trade
a plus
three
one.
For two every single time. We're plus one every – if you have a possession, we have a possession. We're plus one. I think that's how he looks at it. Also, the Clippers, I mean, last night, if you take away James Harden's 3-3, he was 3 of 8. If you take that away, the rest of the Clippers were 4 of 18
yeah,
from 3.
They hit 7 as a team.
Like, yeah, there's nothing there. You know, like, that's not a team. Like, they're going to have to score in the paint. Plus, by halftime, the game was over. Like, by halftime, it was like, all right, what do you even want to do?
Correct.
Like, it's all garbage time.
Both teams on the second night of a back-to-back. One was a little more checked out than the other.
Yeah.
Clippers gave you about 6 minutes last night,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know. It's a good night for some people. Jim is in Manchester on Porzingis. Go ahead, Jim.
Good afternoon, guys. I love your show. And
thank
happy
you.
Thanksgiving to both of you.
Yeah, you too.
I was just wondering, when we're talking about Porzingis, and we never know from day to day if he's going to go down, would it be worth the Celtics trying to put together a package and get another big man? I mean, I know we have Horford.
I'm sorry. Hang on. What does that mean, Jim? Because we got a call earlier today about moving on from Porzingis. You're talking about to supplement the team in addition to Porzingis and Horford or using Porzingis
correct.
In addition?
Correct.
Okay.
No, just someone to supplement him.
This is going to be the first year in a while, Keith. I think they don't really need much at the trade deadline.
So I don't want anything.
Get some buyout guys on the market when they get bought out. I don't really think the team can add much payroll-wise.
No,
I don't think it's really even that fair to ask for them to commit much more financially, independent of the sale. So, I mean, look, if somebody gets hurt, let's look at it. But right now, I think if you have... You're telling me Porzingis is healthy?
Yeah, I'm keeping him.
Horford, Porzingis, and then even Kornet, Kata, I think you're okay. You're more than okay.
Well, my thought would be, who are you going to get that offers more upside than Porzingis? You might have a guy that has more durability and might play more, but you're not going to get what you get from Porzingis. Now, this is the first time, I mean, going back to, I guess, this offseason as well, in the last 10 years that, like, I'm not tinkering with
same.
The team. I came up with every fake trade imaginable
same.
For 10 straight years.
Like, this is going to be the first year in forever. I'm not going to be pounding the table and frustrated if they don't do something at the trade deadline.
Because this is, they're also, come playoff time, you shorten the bench. So you have your five starters, you have Al Horford, you have Peyton Pritchard, and then maybe Sam Hauser, and who's your gun off the 3-point gun off the bench, and then maybe either whoever by the end of the year between Kata and Tillman you think can give you a better 6-minute stretch. But most games they probably won't even play.
Right.
So there's no back to back. So you have Horford the whole time. Peyton Pritchard, we talked earlier, is legitimately a 6-man of the year candidate.
ESPN did their polling, their voting. A month plus into the year, he is the runaway at 6-man of the year thus far, yeah.
And then even, like, if you just need, like, an energy guy or foul guy, like, you have Jordan Walsh, you drafted Shireman, like, you have enough guys that are like, let's see
and
what you have in them.
People are going to want to sign here. You know, your P.J. Browns, your buyout
yeah,
guys.
Right,
people
right.
are going to want to sign here now that the Celtics have won on the buyout market. And maybe you add some money there. They don't need to make any trades. I'm not
going
to be pounding the table for trades.
They're kind of locked in.
If Porzingis gets hurt, then you just play Horford every night. And you mix in Kornet, Tillman, Kata, and you're fine. And you can still win a title. They proved it last year. So,
yeah.
No, I'm not. Believe it or not, I am not advocating for them to even make a move.
Nope. Keep it as is.
I don't think you need to.
Nope.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe and stay tuned. It's Tuesday, which means we have Kiefer Madness next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
The maid of honor hit the bottle hard and almost hit the best man with his own car.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
Send me naked pictures
of
you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I played at a high level myself. Two MVPs.
Nice. All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And you better believe it, Jones, this one involves creatures.
It's exciting. It's not aliens. I already did know it was creatures. You said that a few moments ago, but yeah.
It also involves maybe the luckiest man in the world.
Oh? We'll
find out just how lucky this guy is. No, not because of that.
Oh.
I know what you're thinking.
Very risque.
No, it's not. It's not that.
Very taboo.
Although you got to wonder how lucky you really are. Could get in the way of many things. Maybe that'll be our next man-to-man-to-man with Christian Gonzalez. Now, this story takes place down in Florida. As many of them do.
Makes sense.
Like we haven't been in Florida in a few weeks.
No.
So we go back down to Florida for this amazing tale.
Knew it for a scary surprise for a Brevard County tree trimmer.
Okay, here you go, Jones. How the time you get a scary
tree.
A scary surprise.
So it's probably not an alligator.
Well,
we've been told they climb trees.
I was going to say.
But it's probably not.
No, safe to say it's not an alligator.
Like iguanas get up in trees.
True, they do get up in trees. You ever seen the Adam Sandler movie Leo?
Yes.
Pretty hilarious,
yeah,
right?
It's a pretty good movie.
CeCe loves it.
Yeah.
We watch Leo all the time.
Yeah,
it's very funny.
It's an iguana and a what?
Turtle. Bill Burr's a turtle.
Yeah, thank you.
Bill Burr's a turtle and Sandler's an iguana.
Yeah. Yeah, something like a lizard up in the tree. Like
a lizard up in a tree. Yeah, okay. They're worried about a lizard up in a tree. Yeah. All right, let's find out.
Knew it for a scary surprise for a Brevard County tree trimmer.
He was just doing his job when he was stung by a swarm of bees.
Bees!
Oh, boy.
Jones, bees! Oh, by the way, that huge hornet's nest that
I was about to ask.
It's still there, but it's like, I think it's empty, and now some of the bottom has kind of fallen out.
Oh.
So I was like, I should probably grab it and take a picture of it. It's not fully intact like it was.
So can you sell that?
Like, I don't know. PS5.
I don't know if I can get a PS5 for it, but I might be able to get a game.
Yeah.
Maybe like a PS Network membership or something.
Something like that. You can't get full price on that thing.
I should take it down and take a photo with it.
Yeah,
and then
sure.
I can see what it is. But yeah, he's attacked. He's in a tree trimmer. So he's in like a big bucket, like one of those buckets.
Oh, yeah.
Really high.
He's way up.
And he gets attacked by bees.
Bad place to get attacked. Now, I think you're usually in some sort of harness up there, I think. Well, let's find out.
I think he's kind of freeballing it up there a little bit.
Oh, no.
It's Florida.
Yeah, it's Florida.
That's true.
Not New Hampshire, I don't think they'd make you strap in either. You can do whatever you want.
Live for your day. You do whatever you want. Yeah.
Bees, get this, more than 100 times and then fell 30 feet from his crane.
Well,
he shared his story with West Chew's Justin Shecker.
I stand corrected. Not harnessed. You're right.
100 feet up in the air. Or no, 30 feet. Sorry.
Yeah,
I did too much. No, 100 bee stings.
30 feet up
in the air. He got stung 100 times.
Yeah.
And then was like, this will help. Wah! Just swan dives.
He was so swollen, he didn't feel it anyway.
Yeah, good point. Maybe he did swell up thick, and then he just cushioned the blow.
At a certain point, the pain is so much, you're like, I got to relieve this by jumping 30 feet.
Yeah.
That's a bad choice to have.
It hurts getting stung. I got stung a few times this year, as you can imagine, because I had several of them in the backyard. You forget just how much they get you.
I don't love it.
No, it's not.
I got stung for the first
feeling.
Time 2 years ago, and it was not great. I've been stung since
for the
childhood.
First time ever.
Did I say first time? I'm sorry. Yeah. First time in a while.
Yeah.
Since I was a child, I got stung a couple years ago.
Oh,
not
my
great.
God. We had so many bees in the house this year. It was a mess. We had a wild year. The sound of bees.
Oh.
Souvenir of the honeycomb from the colony that almost killed my husband.
So that is a personal video of the wife.
Yeah.
And she's holding up like a whole bunch of like the beehive stuff. That
almost.
Almost
killed.
Almost killed.
Good.
Yeah.
So he's with us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Sure is. That's why they're the luckiest man.
She sounded disappointed.
Almost as if, Nick.
Yeah.
She was got a plot. Maybe she planted the bees.
She checked the life insurance and she's like, oh, you shit. You're going to break it. I don't know.
Don't you got to clean that tree up there? Trim that tree.
Go 35 feet.
Go clean the bee tree. I need the tree out there, if you don't mind.
Up. Yep. Up.
Higher.
Keep going.
Higher. Keep
Not
going.
That one.
Higher up. Another branch.
A little higher.
Yeah.
This photo shows just how high John Christian was off the ground on Wednesday when he hit a beehive during a post-hurricane tree trimming job in Citrus County.
They're so into their counties. The very beginning of the story said what county
different,
they were in.
Now different, it's like, states, county. Different states really care about their like. If
they're
you,
super into
you
like,
ever talk to anybody
is.
From New Jersey, they're like, oh, what county are you from?
I'm like, I don't know, dude.
I barely even know what county
I'm
I live
not
in
sure.
now. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, you can tell me four or five different ones.
Certain states like really care about their counties.
They're
though.
Into it.
Yeah.
They just came straight up at me and I couldn't get them off of me.
They got this guy on like a Zoom or something for some reason. I don't know why. You're the news. You can't drive to this guy.
Maybe he's afraid to go outside.
Well, go to him. I understand that.
I see.
Go to him.
Yeah, they should go to him.
They're like, oh, yeah, you got like a FaceTime on your phone? We'll just record that. This is what it'll sound like. I'm like, all right.
Christian, who is from Brevard County.
For the love of it, that's the third different county job. No.
They started in Brevard. Then they went to whatever this other county is.
Now
he's back to Brevard. Just in case he didn't hear us the first time, he's from Brevard County.
Counties. Yeah. Who would have thought?
Christian, who was from Brevard County, says he accidentally hit the switch, so he was stuck in his bucket truck as the bees kept stinging him.
So you can't operate the bucket truck? No, I'd panic as well. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think I could operate one without being stung by 100 bees. Once I started getting stung by the bees.
I just started hollering help, and somebody said, jump.
Nice, helpful person.
Jump!
You can jump! Jump! She's holding the life insurance policy.
Just jump!
Just jump!
Do it! The bees won't follow you down here. They can't fly down with you. Somebody yelled, jump. Great advice.
Yeah, seriously.
She's 30 feet up in the air in a bucket truck.
What a helpful person. Jump!
Jump!
So I took off out the side of the machine. I fell 30 feet. I hit the roof, and it rolled off the roof to the ground. And them things, they just kept coming at me.
does nothing!
So
all he did was irritate him.
So he
all
jumped and they followed him down?
Yes, correct. They continued to sting him on his way down.
I heard you say that earlier. I didn't realize that's what was actually going to happen.
Yeah. These suckers will stay with you.
Once they mark you.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. All it takes is one of them to mark you, and then like, this is the guy. He wants to disrupt our nest and kill our queen. That's what they say.
Man.
So this Florida man not only survived the vicious bee attack, but also the fall. The rest of his crew from all Florida Land Services pulled him away from the swarm and rushed him to the hospital.
I had no broken bones, no internal bleeding.
What?
And whatever they treated me with at the hospital, it's a miracle because the swelling went away.
Christian's...
How about this guy?
No broken bones?
I think he's invincible. He might be Superman, this guy. No broken bones, no internal bleeding.
That's unbelievable.
Nothing. Yeah.
Wow.
I think Nick might be onto something. Maybe all the swelling helped cushion the blow.
You think that's what it was? He was so puffy?
So puffy. He got stung so many times.
Yeah. 100 times.
100
stings? That's a good point.
Holy mackerel.
How much debating do you think the rest of the work crew did while the bees followed him down from the tree and he's lying there like lifeless, rolled off a roof, the bees are still staying? How much were they like drawing straws? Like how quickly did they run in there? I would like to know that debate.
All of a sudden, all of them were allergic to bees.
Yeah. I'm allergic. I can't do it. Well, I have children. I can't do
it. His wife's like, no, it's so sad. Don't go near him. It's so sad. Don't go near him. He's fine.
Christian says he's known of his bee allergy since he was a teen.
Now he's also allergic to bees, apparently. There's a bee allergy.
He says he was stung
Wrong industry to be working. Like that's something. They probably shouldn't hire you in the tree trimming business.
Maybe not.
If you have a bee allergy.
He says he was stung some 120 times, 50 of them in the head.
50 head stings? That's way too many head stings.
They're vicious.
Oh, yeah.
Bees! Bees everywhere! God, they're here! They're ripping my flesh off! Your firearms are useless against them!
So he got 70 bee stings not in the head and 50 bee stings in the head.
Yeah.
According to the beehive guy, when he got here to remove them and stuff, he told me, so many of these stories end up in tragedy.
Grant.
Oh, gee, that guy's a downer.
Yeah.
Wow. You're lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
Usually when I clean it up, there's a dead body.
It's usually a corpse. What do you call him again? The beehive guy?
Beehive guy.
It's a technical term.
The beehive guy
The beehive guy.
Oh, Jason Statham was in that movie, The Beehive Guy. Actually, Beekeeper, not a bad movie. Beekeeper was fun.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Thomas from B-Man Stan Bee Removal in Polk County.
Enough with the counties.
Those were new counties.
Cool it with the counties.
Yeah, those were. Was that multiple counties I heard there?
Yeah, no, this was the business that this guy is. So this is the beehive guy. He's about to speak as well.
Okay, good.
Grant Thomas from B-Man Stan Bee Removal in Polk County.
Yeah.
Says he believes these weren't European honeybees that nearly took Christian's life, but rather the killer kind.
Are you ready for this guy's breakdown?
Yeah. All right.
Comb throughout the whole thing was extremely dark in color. There was no honey on it whatsoever. And, you know, typically whenever you get attacked by bees, or I should say get stung by bees, you've got three or four stings. You don't get hit hundreds of times, and they were just in his hair and just all over him.
In his hair?
So I'm confused.
Yeah.
This guy's the
beehive guy.
He's the beehive guy.
He's trying to figure out what. He's like, these aren't the honeybees. These are killer bees.
Yeah, but he sounds pretty unsure.
Yeah, he doesn't really
He's
know.
Just looking at the color of the comb to
figure that out?
I
honestly think they found this guy walking down the street.
I feel like you should,
I don't think he's the guy.
You should sound a little more informed. You're the beehive guy.
He doesn't know. Yeah.
Christian says he's grateful to be alive and thankful that his coworkers quickly removed him from the life-threatening situation.
The doctor said that I was either at superhuman strength or I'm the luckiest person in the world, but in whichever case it is, stop and play the lottery.
And Christian says this afternoon he's headed home to his family in Cocoa. He also told me...
I thought that was a county.
I was waiting
I thought
for
we were getting another county.
You think I love these county drops? Man.
And Christian says this afternoon he's headed home to his family in Cocoa. He also told me he's already ordered bee suits just in case his tree trimming crew encounters another angry swarm.
I have an idea. Maybe invest in a harness. Maybe get a harness next time.
Harness would be good.
Although you're just dangling there getting stung by bees.
That's probably not much better.
Yeah, bee suit and a harness.
Yeah,
I'd get that.
Yeah.
In Brevard County, I'm Justin Shecker.
Thank God.
WESH 2 News.
WESH.
What a story. And according to the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, Americanized honeybees are in the state and the population will continue to grow. The state set up the country's first detection program for these killer bees with the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Good bee stats at the end.
Real nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to know what you're working with.
So there you go. There's your bee madness.
I like the text line, 37937. Good question for Gonzo. Man to man to man.
Man to man to man.
100 bee stings or fall 30 feet?